It's a pleasure to introduce to you our speaker, Brother Marvin. We all know him. Know that he has spent time preparing, so he would appreciate your silent prayers and your kind attention as he brings us the word this evening. Brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. Well, it's nice to be here. I'd like to start off here and in the Bible, in the book of Mark. Beginning there in the 4th chapter. We're a little bit like it gives here in the scriptures concerning the sower and that. And so I'll start here on verse number 4. And it come to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now, the parallel passage would be the 15th verse. These are they by the wayside, when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And true it is. He takes away that word, that desire to learn of the Lord and to come unto him. There's an opposition here, and Satan is ever busy in trying to do that. I'd like to go back to the 5th verse here and read. It says, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of root, no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And you all know what happens, really, when a plant doesn't have any foundation under it. The sun will sit up there and scorch it and wilt it, and that'll be it. Now, the parallel passages here is 16, I'll read. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when afflictions or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And we run into that situation from time to time in life. We run into people that become unhappy for sometimes imaginary ideas in their hearts that somebody's stepping on their toes or speaking about them. They are unhappy with that. We all run into that situation. But as it goes on here, and I'll start here on verse number 7 here, says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You that have worked around some of the weeds and that, you run into that in your gardens. Your other vegetation will choke out your garden, the weeds, if you don't watch them. I often wonder why my garden doesn't grow as proficiently as the weeds grow. But it seems like the vegetable plants that you plant don't grow as fast and as nice as the weeds do. So we have to pull out those weeds, and that is the way it is in this life. We have to be careful about those things that will choke away the Word of God within our hearts. And verse 18 here, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And we know that that has happened. You've seen it transpire within the church, that people are here, then they're gone. You can imagine how many people do we have on the rolls here. Quite a few more than just what few members we have here. They're too busy with the pleasures of the world to come and give a little time to the Lord. That's what enters in. Satan is a-working with them. We have a core group here, if you want to put it that way. Makes me think always of the battery Sears put out, the die-hard battery. Well, that's kind of the way some of our members are here. They're always here. Whatever comes up, they're always faithful in attending to the Lord. But we have those that, for one reason or another, don't want to bother. And I don't know just why. Some of them, they don't read the scriptures as they should. They don't apply themselves there. They just go, I guess, weeks at a time and don't read the scriptures. Sometimes they go months and months and months and don't come to church. Or they come spasmodically, occasionally. Why is that within their hearts to be that way? I do not know, but they're just like here. There's evidently cares of the world, and we can come up with all kinds of excuses of why we don't go to church. You know, I don't feel well, got a headache, or don't feel good to my stomach, or just all tired. I don't have time for the Lord, is what it amounts to. Many excuses we come up with in this life, but I assure you, the Lord does not accept excuses. You may think he does, but I assure you, he does not. And the time will come when we all stand before the Lord and we will give account of those things in this walk of life. Some of our loved ones, you know, they walk away for some unknown reason. And we have seen them. You know, the adversary is ever busy. It don't matter who is around. He works on them and such not. Teaches them not to pray and all of that. I'd like to go over into the Book of Mormon here on page 718 and read a little bit. You're all familiar with it, but we'll go over it again. 718 on verse 37 we will start with. And as they came to the sea, they pitched their tents. And they called the name of the place Moriah Kemur. And they dwelt in tents, and dwelt in tents upon the seashore for the space of 4 years. Now, they stayed there quite a little while. You know, I'll bet it was kind of a paradise place where they were staying there. You know, they had their tents, and nobody to bother them, probably a food abundantly. You remember, they come with the seeds that they were commanded to pick up, and they come with the fowls of the air and the fish and all of that, you know. Those fish, how they carried them, kind of always intrigues me. I always got in my mind just how were they able to take care of those fish in that water all the time. And so, but nevertheless, they had the fish with them. And so, you know, the seeds, they could plant some of them and raise them and keep seed and all of that. So they had a peaceful time there, as I say. There was nobody to bother them or disrupt them. But it became a time of leisure. And we run into that in this life as well, a time of leisure. In verse 38, "And it come to pass at the end of 4 years that the Lord came again unto the brother of Jared and stood in a cloud and talked with him. And for the space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared and chastised him because he remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord." This is something that can happen pretty easy, not only with him, but you know, with us as well. It's something that we should be very attentive to, is prayer. That we seek the Lord out in the night before we go to bed, in the morning when we get up, and keep that prayer within our hearts during the day when we have time. I know we work and sometimes, but you know, we still sometimes have a few minutes at noontime or whatever. We can say a silent prayer to the Lord through the day, and he will hear us. You remember how Alma and his brethren there were surrounded and captured again by the Lamanites, and they called up on the Lord, and finally the captive told them they was not to cry unto the Lord anymore. So they didn't. But, you know, they really suffered under the hand of the Lamanites. But the Lord supported them and helped them, and they cried unto the Lord silently. The Lord heard. And silently we can cry unto the Lord for help and guidance as well in our sicknesses that we have, in our trials, in work, in tribulation. Some of the times the people that we work with are hard to get along, and we can ask the Lord for help. If we don't always receive that help as we would desire, we can always come to the church and ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us. Just like you heard your brother pray here for Brian and Don and Lois and those as well. The Lord hears those prayers. And so it is beneficial that we pray as the Lord has commanded, that we pray to him of those things that we desire. And if we earnestly desire those things, he will bless us and help us. But we got to be careful that we do not ask amiss on those things. But anyway, the Lord has visited here with the brother of Jared and has talked to him about this lack of praying to him for some length of time. How long it was, I don't really know how long was it, but it was a length of time that he skipped praying to the Lord. It's just like today in life, we can skip reading the scriptures. We can skip praying to the Lord. You know, we get up in the morning, we just don't have time. Makes me think of a fellow that I worked with years ago, and he never make it to work on time. You know, he'd get up probably about 20 to late, quarter to eight, and come to work, and just didn't hardly have time, and we always generally had to wait for him a few minutes after eight to get to work, to pick him up and take him to work. He was a likable fella and all of that, but he just didn't put his life in order as he should have. It's just things that we don't think of. And a lot of people are really not taught to pray, as our people are, that are instructed that we should be praying to the Lord constantly for that help. The Lord loves to bless his people. And if we live that life as we should, he will bless us with those things. But I'll back up here into the Book of Mormon again here. And start on verse 40 here. And the brother of Jared repented him of the evil which he had done, and did call up on the name of the Lord for his brethren which were with him. And the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more, for you shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if you will sin until you are fully ripe, you shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. Now, we know we have perfect examples here in the scriptures, in both of them, of what happens to the people when they cease to pray to the Lord for help. You know, that pride begins to grow like yeast does, you know. It ferments in bread, and it magnifies itself in the bread and swells. Well, pride does the same thing when we forget to seek the Lord out as we should, and that pride becomes vanity, and we run into much troubles in our life if we don't remove that pride. A lot of times the Lord has to step in and give us a lesson if we don't obey his will and humble ourselves as we should. Because the Lord, he desires that we follow him in all things and obey his will. And he's happy to have us do that thing. But, you know, we have many cares, as it says, in the world. Just like here, the thistles that choke the word of God. It does the same here in this life, you know. We have too many activities. You know, we have basketball that we can watch on Sunday or whenever the evenings. We can watch those things, or baseball. You know, we can sit down to that and enjoy them and not pick up the Bible or the scriptures and study them whatsoever. But we sit there, or some good movie or whatever. Sometimes they're not so good movies, but we watch them. You know, the adversary creeps in funny ways. Some years ago, when I lived at Craig, I talked with a fellow there, and I want to talk to him about the gospel. And so it was on a Sunday, and I says, why don't we get together about 2 o'clock this afternoon on Sunday, and let me come down and I'll talk with you. Well, he was all for that, and so was I. And so I go down there and knock on his door, and I'm at 2 o'clock, and he invites me in. And of course, you know, he's got the TV on, and I hear what's going on, and you can imagine what's going on at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Yes, pleasures of the world, a football game. And it happened to be that it happened to be the Broncos that were playing. And so he sat there watching that football game, and I couldn't get a word in. He was just watching that for all his worth. And I, after 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I says, well, I says, I'm going to go, you know. I couldn't talk with him. I can't talk against the TV. And some of the TVs, the people, when I go out and talk with them, they got a TV going. I tell them, can we turn off that TV so we can talk? Some of them will. Some of them kind of grumpily, yeah, yes, but you know, they're not too interested. They like to watch their TV. TV's all right, you know, football's all right, and basketball, soccer ball, all of those things are all right. If they're in their proper place, you know, even skiing here, we can indulge in that too much as well. You know, we have biking. You see them sometimes, or I have seen them a number of times go by here. There go some there, you know, they're riding their bicycles. And there's maybe 10 or 20 or 30 of them all going on a race on Sunday. Years ago, we had a blue law here in this state, And these a lot of these places were all shut up on Sunday. There was, where I was at, there was a drugstore that was open on Sunday so that a person in emergency, if they needed to get some medicine or something, they could acquire that. But the stores for business as they are today, they were shut up. And, you know, really that was kind of a good thing, I thought. But, you know, they changed that later. The pleasures of the world come in, and so they repealed that law. And so anyway, you know, on Sundays or even on weekends or whatever, we have, you know, car racing going. You know, even they have balloons people go to and watch the balloons float through the air and such not. Instead of spending some of their time with the scriptures, now, as I say, none of these in themselves are bad. It's in moderation. We should partake of them. I know I've enjoyed hunting and fishing in my days, but even today, when it comes Sunday, I don't sit in front of a TV and watch it. I leave Sunday to the Lord. The TV stays off. Well, it stays off because I don't have one. But my time is with the Lord. I'm not out there painting on the house. I'm not out there finding other activities that I can't come to church. Look how skimpy we are tonight. And this morning, you know, it's really kind of a shame that our people are not more energetic about the Lord than they are. But we have to put first things first. The priorities of the world have a great call upon us. And that, you know, when I worked, which was all right, my boss used to enjoy the golfing. So he'd go out in the morning and they'd do some golfing before they come to work. Well, you know, that's perfectly all right. That's not encroaching in on their other things, but we should always leave a little time for scripture study. Now, I know there are some people can quote scripture. I've seen them. Scripture to no end. I used to quote a lot of scripture years ago, but today I can't do that. I have to read it. I just don't remember like I used to. But maybe those that could quote real well remember, only read the Bible or the Book of Mormon once a month or whatever. But really, we need to be familiar with them. And we should not allow the TV, and I know what happens with some people. They'll sit there, they'll come home from work tired and whatever, and the news, they'll watch the news, and then they'll watch programs, and it goes on night after night, and they do not pick up the scriptures and read them and study them. They got too many things going other than the Lord, and this is kind of sad in itself. And so, you know, today, you know, they got swimming on the beaches in the ocean, and that, but they also include now something that didn't used to be, and that's a lot of drinking. A lot of drugs they have around these parties now when they get together, a bunch of them. They always have the drinking and the drugs are going now. When I was a young fella, you never heard of such a thing as drugs. In fact, didn't have neighbors hardly. That was closer than about 5 miles away. If I wanted to visit with a neighbor, I'd have to walk that distance. You know, I didn't go visit the neighbors because walking that distance at a young age like that just didn't work out. And so today, you know, we live in cities. Our children grow up around, and a lot of them, we used to say years ago, they would get street smart, some of the people. They knew just how far they could go without the law bothering them. And I've known grown-ups that would be just in that same boat, street smart. They knew just what the law, how far they could bend it without the law getting them. These are things that we should be very careful of. I'd like to go back on to page 155 here in the Book of Mormon. And I'd begin here with verse 27. Behold, others he flattereth away. Now, speaking of the adversary, he flattereth them away and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. You know, too many people of the world today don't really and necessarily believe in the adversary or some of those things. You know, they just kind of make fun of some of those things. But as it says here in verse 28, he whispers in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains. And that's just exactly what he does. He whispers in their ears that, you know, it's all right to do this or it's all right to do that. But it is not. There are laws that the Lord has given us to obey. And we are to obey them if we want to reign with him in the kingdom of heaven. How long is eternity? You know, I don't know. Beyond my imagination. But it's forever. And I assure you, I don't want to be with the adversary. I want to be with the Lord. But, you know, I must obey the commandments. The same as you must be if you want to be with the Lord. You must obey the commandments. And some of those commandments are, you must pray to the Lord for help and guidance. These are things the Lord has commanded that we do. And then we seek out that which is good. As the Lord says, all good comes from him. All things that are not good comes from the adversary. And so we should be aware of that. That we be aware he is ever present. And he can rope you and pull you down. You never sometimes be aware of it. As it says here, he will grasp them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. And true, there is, if you allow him to hoodwink you enough. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell and death. And hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and to be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. And so, as it says, woe unto him that is at ease in Zion. And so, those that don't care to attend church, those that don't care to read the scriptures and that, are at ease in Zion. Now, I know there are times that something comes up and a person just is unable to attend church for some reason or another. But, you know, those situations sometimes happen that for some reason beyond your control that you're not able to attend. Not that you wouldn't if you couldn't. And so we have to be aware that the adversary is every busy to lead us astray. Not only us, but everybody in the world. Just look how he done at the time of the flood. Look how he done here with the Jaredites. Look how he done here with the Nephites. Look how he done with Israel. You know, they were constantly in trouble so much of the time because they wanted to follow the cares of the world. Where are our priorities? Are they on the Lord or are they on the things of the world? too much. They're on the things of the world. That glitter out there will draw us and guide us. We can partake of it, and we can indulge in those things too much. But those things in the, by themselves are not all that bad. It's just how much we allow it to rule in our lives. I'd like to back up here on page 56 in the Book of Mormon. Now this is Lehi speaking of the house of Israel here. And I'll start on verse 117 here. And after they had crossed the river Jordan, he did make them mighty unto the driving out the children of the land, yea, unto the scattering them to destruction. And now, do you suppose that the children of this land, which were in the land of promise, which were driven out by our fathers, do you suppose that they were righteous? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Now, this land of promise, he's referring to Israel there, which was a land that is bountiful. Season is good, and water, and they can grow crops like nowhere else almost. And so, but he's telling them, he says, would the Lord allow the house of Israel to drive out the people around them if they had been righteous? And the answer is no, he would not. Do you suppose that our fathers would have been more choice than they if they had been righteous? I say unto you, nay. Behold, the Lord esteems all flesh in one. He that is righteous is favored of the Lord. And so true it is. Those that keep his commandments, he blesses and prosper. You know, he led Lehi, he led the Jaredites here to this land, as he says, is a choice land. Choice land. And you know, if you'll stop and think about it, we've lived here in a land of plenty, really. There's been no nation in the world that has had the things and the pleasures, the ease of travel and that we have had here in this country. It has been blessed beyond measures, and the Lord blesses those that he loves. But he also curses the land to those that will not keep his commandments. And so we must be very mindful of those things. As he spoke to the brother Jared, you know, it says the brother Jared repented of those things that he had done wrong. And so I'd like to go over to page 725 and read there a little bit. I guess there's no saying the Lord didn't guarantee us a bed that didn't have some thorns in it. They're here. We can have a wonderful life, but when we don't follow his ways all the way, there are some thorns that we run into. And so on page 725, on verse 115 here, therefore, repent, all ye ends of the earth. See, there's no exceptions to anybody. Everybody, the Lord wants to repent. He would have everybody come to him. But he gives them that free agency that they can accept or reject his word whenever they want. And believe in my gospel. Now, as it says here, the Lord has set up his church here in the latter days. And he would have everybody to come to it. But with the free agency that he has given, they can accept or reject whatever they want. And be baptized in my name. For Now, this baptism, you know, we run into a situation here that in different churches, the baptism is performed in different ways. In the church I grew up, they baptize you by sprinkling you. You come up there and the minister sprinkled you with a little water and you're baptized. Some of them, they submerge you completely in water, same as the Lord was. Some of them, they just dunk their head in some water and they're baptized, you know. There's different modes that the people of the world use, which is contrary to what the scripture the Lord has given. And be baptized in my name. Now, this is something that many people are not baptized in his name at all. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And true it is, you know, the gifts of the gospel is given there in Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Those that are given here as well as they are given here in a few pages on. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And truly it is to those that come to this condition that have been faithful unto the Lord, all will be well with them. Thank you.